You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I am your host, Bart Zandbergen, and in studio as usual, Paul. Paul, how are you today?
Underdressed as always.
Well, Paul, I need to prepare you. I know that last week you were extremely excited about our conversation about life insurance.
Yes.
Well, today you're going to lose your mind because we are going from life insurance to long-term care insurance. So keep it down over there.
And I'm going to tell you, it really is, as much as you're laughing at this, I'm telling you, it's more and more a topic for my generation here because I don't think any of us have it or know anything about it. And I look ahead at my aged parents who've since passed away, how much better they would have been had they thought through that process.
Yeah, and we do joke, but it is a very, very serious subject, and I think very important. So with that, we have a special guest, longtime associate and friend of mine, Scott Heinola from Producer Choice Network. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Of course. So, Scott, tell me a little bit, or tell the audience, rather, how did you get to be in the insurance business and a specialist in long-term care insurance?
Well, that could be a 30-minute explanation unto itself, but I'll save you that effort and make a long story short. Grew up, always knew that I wanted to be in what I thought finance, and as a young boy, tagged that as a quote-unquote stockbroker, and graduated college and with a degree in finance and moved on to be introduced to a firm that does similar to what I founded in 2009. As you know about finance and economics, maybe not the most opportune time to start your business.
Good timing.
But we were pretty fortunate, you know, at that time. We did a lot of things right, and we certainly learned some things along the way. And so our core business, as it grew to evolve, came from focusing on retirees, pre-retirees, and retirees, and in the areas of life insurance and annuities and income and the protected growth story and things like that. But with the, let's say, the insurgence of boomers and the amount of individuals that are retiring and having this overwhelming concern for what happens if I need ... which became long-term care. And so we evolved into becoming quite the expert in that area and working with financial advisors alike all across the country, like yourself and OptiVest, and certainly providing that experience and expertise in that given area.
Right. Great. Well, I certainly appreciate your wisdom and your help over the years. So I thought let's just, for a second, just start with the basics. I know life insurance is pretty easy. Most people understand it. It's, you know, you're either alive or you're not, and it pays when you're not.
Long-term. There's two things that are certain, right? Death and taxes.
That's true. Now, on the other end of the insurance spectrum is long-term care insurance. Not quite as clear-cut, yet equally as important. Why don't you give the audience a bit of a
It's such
breakdown.
A sexy topic, though, right, isn't
yeah.
it? I say that jokingly. So repeat the question again. What would you?
So, definition, long-term care insurance.
Yeah, so.
Or maybe what, first of all, what is long-term care before we even get to what long-term
major,
care insurance
major
is?
Major misunderstanding in this country from a knowledge standpoint and culturally in what long-term care really is. When I say those three words, what is long-term care to an audience of people, and I present to financial advisors all the time and groups of retirees all the time, and I'll always begin the presentation with that question of, tell me what I mean or what comes to mind when I say those three words, long-term care. And invariably, there's always going to be either, you know, one person or a handful of people that say nursing home. And I immediately disconnect our cultural thinking of long-term care ending up or being in a nursing home. Long-term care in this country is simply an inability to perform basic activities of daily living, like bathing and eating and dressing and things of that nature, right? A typical picture of what long-term care looks like in this country, and let me tie in kind of a personal story for a moment. My wife's parents, my grandparents, let me use my grandma as an example. She's since passed now. Mm-hmm. She was a wonderful lady, soaking wet, maybe 105 pounds. Mm-hmm. And she was very active, walked every day, did her, you know, 30 minutes, 60 minutes a walk a day. And she was about 82. And like individuals will, right, she's watching a baseball game, 5:36, the sun is beginning to set, and she panicked a little bit in the sense that she forgot to take the trash out. You know, little things become big deals to certain people, right? She was for sure that person. So it's partially dark, and she is 105 pounds taking the trash out. She tripped off the curb, broke her hip and her ankle, and unfortunately it never recovered, right? So she ended up having multiple infections, multiple skin grafts. She was never physically the same. And so she began needing part-time care at home because her children, my mom and her son, weren't local. They weren't convenient. Us as grandchildren weren't certainly convenient all the time, right? So it became a community of efforts, if you will, when we could fill in. But as time went on, she needed more care, and then ended up into an assisted living facility, right? So it's this progression of age and simply inability to perform normal activities, right? That's what long-term care really is in this country. And so there's a whole subset of concerns and conversations and things that we bring to light that aren't financially based at all and happen to be more emotionally based, right? Dynamic based. What happens to the family in this situation? And hopefully we can get into some more of that as we go on.
Sure.
The reality of it is very, very few people end up in what we would define as a nursing home.
Right. Right. I find with most of my clients, excuse me, when I'm speaking of long-term care, first of all, those that are the most receptive are those that, like yourself, have gone through it. So they realize what the future could be, and the I'll use the word burdensome can be for the younger generation. But second is just to really understand what it is and the fact that they don't have to be in a nurse home. And if given the choice, I've never had anyone answer the question, would you rather be at home or rather be in a nursing home and receive care? No one has ever said, I want to be in a nursing home.
Right, exactly.
So I think that's where, and let's get into that now and how the insurance would generally cover that.
Yeah, so some foundational, I think, notes that I want to enlighten everybody with is this statistic or some data, I think, that helps frame the conversation and touches or expands a little bit upon the fact that we're talking about emotional reasons for this and maintaining dignity and creating some awareness that is outside the box. Mm-hmm. So as an example, in 2015, there were 65.7 million people providing some form of care, not receiving care, providing care, right? Mm-hmm. To your point.
These are non-professionals or professionals?
All alike, absolutely. Most of the time you find that caregivers are the loved ones, right?
Yeah.
That have put their life on hold, on pause, that are making arrangements in their life to help their loved one, right? Mm-hmm. And so what 65 million people means is 27% of the U.S. population are providing care to someone who's ill, disabled, or just older aged.
Yeah.
That's a huge percentage, right?
Yeah.
So informal caregivers run a 63% higher risk of dying from stress-related illnesses. Speaking to that point for a minute, some individuals who are the highest of net worth may make the uninformed decision of, I can self-insure, right? Well, the question then becomes, is that the most prudent way, knowing that there are maybe opportunities that you can leverage, right? And or everybody has preferences, even between a husband and a wife. You know, me knowing you and the differences between your household and maybe just different perspectives, my wife the same. The way that she may decide or her personal preferences on how she wants to receive care may be completely and diabolically different than what the way I view receiving some form of care, right? Mm-hmm. And so those conversations should be had with every household, certainly as they approach retirement and advance through retirement, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, less than 15% of Americans receiving formal caregiving are receiving that care in a facility, less than 15%. So the majority of individuals receiving care are receiving care either at home or some kind of a, you know, part-time or partial caregiving facility, right? Like an assisted living facility is a perfect example. That is the fastest growing type of care in this country.
Yeah. So many things that come from that. So first of all, many people may not know what is the cost of long-term care. And of course, it will depend on whether it's in a nursing home, whether it's at home. And if it's at home, is it 24/7 or is it a few hours a day or a few hours every other day? The last range that I heard, you can tell me if it's different. And of course, it's geographically driven as well.
Of course,
Orange County is going to be a little bit different in California than maybe other places. Anywhere from the $6,000 to $20,000 a month. Does that sound like a reasonable range?
Yes. So there's actually a great technology, an app. And this disclaimer: this is not an advertisement for or against any one given company. Yeah. We represent many in this capacity, but by far, they've made the significant investment in technology, and it's Genworth that has this cost of care survey that they update every year.
Yeah.
The 2017 findings just came out. There's an app on your iPhone, your iPad. You can go to your website, just search Genworth cost of care.
Yeah.
It's an interactive map where anybody can type in their exact location in terms of county.
Yeah.
And look at what the current cost is as an average in that county, and then fast forward, what's it going to be in 10 years, 20 years, and what is the inflationary rate going to be, and things like that, and compare different parts of the country as well.
Yeah.
In addition to that, there's a resource for all kinds of survey results that individuals can look at and review themselves. But to compartmentalize, the average rate of hourly home care is $21 to $24 an hour. Well, do the math. If I need 4 hours of care a day, because those are kind of the in-between hours of that day where I don't maybe have a loved one that's going to be there in the morning, sure. Go to work, be home, that right. kind of a thing.
Right.
And or just providing relief to other family members, right? Giving them some quote-unquote time off. Well, times 7 days a week, times 30 days a month, it adds up, right?
Sure it does.
Assisted living facilities in Orange County are going to range somewhere between $4,000 and $6,000. And then, of course, facilities like residential facilities, whether or not they're independent living or skilled care facilities, are going to range anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a month.
And then I think back, this is many years ago now, but like Christopher Reeves as an example, 24/7, and I believe he had more than one, and numbers I heard were six figures in care.
So yes. Oh, really, absolutely. Ronald Reagan passed away from Alzheimer's, right? He's kind of the staple example of an extreme situation, right?
Sure.
I mean, he lived many, many years with severe dementia, which grew into Alzheimer's, and it was 10-plus years, you know?
So those two examples lead to, I think, a great next question. How does one qualify for long-term care? So we've just talked now about a cognitive, which is Alzheimer's. We've talked about physical, which was inability to use arms and legs. So it's six ADLs today, is it not?
Exactly.
Okay. So, and ADLs are activities of daily living.
Correct.
Because
Would you like to know what the six ADLs are?
Because I always end up leaving one or two out.
Can yes. You? Me too. And I've been doing this for quite some time. I kind of get caught up into the numbers and the conversation of it all. Provide the clarity. Activities of daily living are, and the six of them are, bathing, eating, toileting, transferring, dressing, and continence. So continence would be hygiene, keeping yourself clean.
Yeah. And then how about transferring is a slightly tricky, not tricky, but a different definition. So define transferring.
Transferring, so inability to get yourself in and out of bed, right, on and off the toilet.
Yeah.
To be specific. As to be not confused with toileting. So as you can see, some of them kind of meld together.
And it's, now it used to be seven. Was walking number seven or is walking now in transferring? Or did you say walking?
I did not say walking.
Is that included in transferring now?
So loosely? It can be gray, right? Yeah. But no, I mean, in other words, there's lots of walking aids today, whether it be a cane or a walker, things like that. Now, if you're already using those kinds of aids, then you're probably not going to get any formal care of insurance. But taking a step back, to not be the advocate for insurance in any one capacity, just as an independent thinker for a minute, I'm a major advocate of having a long-term care plan. And a long-term care plan, to me, is simply having a conversation with a financial advisor like yourself on what their personal implementation plan is going to be and what their course of action will be when the phone rings and says that on top of all of our ordinary expenses, we're going to need an extra $8,000 a month beginning now.
Right. Right.
What is the exclusion plan going to be? Because not all assets are created equal in terms of liquidity and taxation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's critically important that you have some kind of a written plan in place so that you, as the advisor, know how to execute. Most of the time, the phone call is not going to come from the person who's receiving care, which in many cases is the person that you've had as your quote-unquote direct client or the overseer of the finances.
Yeah.
It's the individual who kind of gets lumped into this as the person now kind of volunteering their time and services to help out, right?
Right. And I've had many of those.
Exactly. We all have.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
I think you missed your call, and I think you should have been a financial advisor.
All right, it's too late.
We're going to take a super quick break. We'll be right back.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare. By 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over a million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
All right, welcome back. All right, Scott, we've covered a lot, so let's shift gears a little bit in the different types of insurance now. However, having said that, one thing I think is important, the triggering events to get or to receive the benefit, 2 of 6 ADLs, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and or cognitive impairment as determined by a physician.
Correct.
Perfect. All right. So as I've discussed over the many, many weeks here on the show, this is now my 26th year in the business. And I kind of cut my teeth on disability insurance, long-term care insurance. I know you've got some years, maybe a few less than I have. but what a difference we've seen, or a change specifically in the long-term insurance world.
Yeah, dramatic.
And we're going to get now into the types of coverage, but I refer to it as a traditional long-term
Perfect.
Care coverage to what the more... I'll call it a hybrid, and you can change the name if you want as we go on. But the traditional was, much like maybe a disability insurance that you would receive or utilize while you're working to replace your income, one would have purchased long-term care insurance to protect their wealth once retired. So I have seen, you know, companies, big-name companies and prominent companies that, one, have significantly increased rates, and then two, will no longer write that kind of coverage just because of cost prohibitive for not only the insured, but for, I think, the carrier to insure because of the number of claims, which I think, again, is a testament to how needed this is and that people are using it. What I've really, really enjoyed over the last couple of years, and you've been a great assistance, is again, the hybrid combination. So whether it's a hybrid with life insurance or a hybrid with annuity, I'm setting you up. Why don't you go ahead and comment on both, or all three?
Right. So what are the solutions, right, in terms of leverage or insurance? And the first and foremost historical example of that is, as you mentioned, traditional long-term care insurance. And that was commonplace, right? It was very affordable. The benefits were very strong in terms of I could have a 5% compounding increasing benefit. I could have lifetime long-term care benefits for myself and my spouse. So it was this infinite access or pool of resources, as you put, you know, preservation of wealth or mitigation of risk, right? I mean, that's really what this is as a tool in anybody's household finances.
It sure is.
It's not about, you know, this is not about providing additional wealth or creating wealth as a traditional investment. As a leading example, this is about mitigation of risk, dignity, peace of mind. And so I digress a little bit, but getting back to the product type, long-term care insurance, you know, we've seen this product offering diminished now to where there may be an independent access to five or so carriers that have products like this. They're limiting the inflationary adjustments on these plans. There is no such thing as lifetime benefits anymore. The premium increase in some cases are 20 to 50% on a year-by-year basis.
Seen that.
It's this use it, lose it kind of proposition that individuals have seen, experienced, whether directly or indirectly, and they're just very fearful of, well, yeah, maybe I can afford that premium today, but I'm 60 years old, and when I'm 75, 78 years old, what's the premium risk going to be, the cost of this going to be, and can I afford it at that point in time? Do I want to pay for that premium at that point in time? So progressing now to what we've seen is an introduction in these hybrid products. I like to call them linked benefit products. They're built on a foundational chassis of either an annuity or a life insurance policy. And the nice thing about these is there's a 100% guarantee that the insurance company who we're relying on for these benefits is going to pay a benefit or a distribution to someone, whether it's me while I'm living as a cash value, as some kind of a rate of return that I electively choose to receive, and or, most importantly, the long-term care benefits. Or if I don't use or exhaust all those benefits, there'll be a transfer of assets to my beneficiaries, whoever I name. So it gives individuals the peace of mind that knowing that the money that they're investing is going towards something, in addition to that, everything is fully guaranteed.
Yeah. What I really like about it is also the versatility, right? And one, like you said, knowing that somehow, some way, the beneficiaries are going to get it and or the insured by either long-term care or the cash value. I like the fact that we've been able to design it in the case of a life insurance that it could be, quote-unquote, paid up. And that means the insured knows that there's going to be a certain number of years where they'll pay premium. And after that point, there's a guarantee that they're going to have coverage for a certain amount of time. So there's not to worry about the up to 50% increase in premium like they did
Correct.
In traditional. There, let's talk, you know, we only have a few moments left. And, you know, we're going to have to do another show because we spent a lot of time just on the basics, and we got to get more into the solutions. But we've talked recently and helped a client recently on an annuity chassis where he was able to 1035 exchange, which means he was able to transfer the value of his annuity, which was highly appreciated. He's had this annuity for about 20 years. So it basically it was over double in value. He would normally have had to have paid taxes when he started the withdrawal. Instead, he did the 1035 exchange, no tax, and that bought him, is it a 4-to-1 or a 3-to-1?
Three to one.
3-to-1.
Well, it can be 3 or 4-to-1, depending on the product design age, right.
So let's say it's a $200,000 annuity, which I believe was the case. He now has $600,000 to $800,000 of long-term care benefit, which incidentally receives tax-free.
Correct.
And whatever's left over in the plan gets left to his beneficiaries.
Right. So the financial reverse engineering of that would be, okay, you have a considerable gain, right, in the account that you currently have. What is the net after-tax dollar amount currently? It would be something less than the $200,000 that you have, right?
Yeah.
But we can 1035 exchange that, which is a tax-free transfer, triple the value of those dollars instantly for long-term care on a fully federally tax-free basis.
Yeah.
Financially, what rate of return would you need to earn at what risk to grow those monies net of dollars to that amount? It's tremendous leverage.
And that's the exact scenario I use. As you know, we're a multifamily office, so I deal with high net worth clients. Many, if not most of my clients have this and you said it perfectly, peace of mind, and then also protection and really dignity. I've talked to clients about, I don't want my kids, I don't want my kids changing my diaper, help me go to the bathroom. I want to be able to have some care, and I don't want to reduce my net worth to do it.
Right.
Okay. That was fast.
Gosh. So much more.
All right. This has been a lot of fun, and hopefully the audience enjoyed it as well. So, Scott, I know you know what's coming because I know you listen to the show. So I have the honor of asking you your final thought question. What is your ultimate lesson learned over your time as an insurance professional?
So I've crafted actually a little mission statement, if you will, in closing. So, you know, and I've seen this so on a consistent and regular basis today, comprehensive financial planning today, it's not just about creating wealth any longer. it's more and more inclusive of health and longevity and dignity for our clients, right? So irrespective of a client's net worth, peace of mind in retirement can be explained in many, many different ways based on our individual experiences and needs, right? So with that said, knowing that the risk of extended health care is likely and will potentially be subject to severe, if not irreversible, consequences to not only one's household finances, but to the people that they love and care about the most, the spouse, adult children, grandchildren, and to the family at large, implementing what I like to call an extended health care plan in written form, whether it includes insurances or not, is something that everybody should engage with.
Well said. I couldn't agree more. All right, Scott, we're jamming out of here. So thanks for joining us today. For those who want to learn more about Scott or his company, it's www.producerschoicenetwork.com. Thanks so much, everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to having you back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
The Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.